All right, what is up, everyone? Chris Manning here from the Locked On Cavs podcast with my co-host, Evan Damerill, for Volume 2 of our prep for the 2022 NBA Draft. Today's show, we're going to look at five Cavs needs, and we're going to rank them. So let's get into it.
You are Locked On Cavs, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast.
Music you heard on the way in, at least in audio form, is from Astro Radio. The song is Factory Flame. Check them out on Spotify or Apple Music. I'm Chris Manning, covering the Cavs and the NBA for places like Diamond Up Rocks and SB Nation Through the Sword. Evan is over at Facebook's Right Down Euclid primarily. Evan, let's lay out some needs. Here are the five that I have.
Well, first, let me give everyone my card if they want it. Here. Just here if you guys
need
it.
Here's the thing. You don't have that.
If you're watching on video, you get it.
So troubling for you there, buddy. But here's the five needs that we've identified. Backup center, backup point guard, a rotation quality wing, shooting, and developmental wing. So there's some caveats here, I think we should say. Number one, some of these are going to overlap. So, like, you could say that a rotation wing...
Shooting overlaps.
I think at least three of them. Developmental wing, you maybe say, hey, like, this isn't something you necessarily want to use the draft on. Maybe that's, like, something you identify someone in the process, and then maybe you want to sign them to a UDFA or something like that. We'll see how this works out. We'll see if the Cavs use their picks. As a reminder, they currently have 2 second-round picks, and then they have the 14th best odds, number one pick, and all likelihood they're going to be picking 14th in the draft. This conversation very much changes if they end up hopping up into the top of the lottery.
Less than two weeks ago, baby.
You can bet your bottom dollar we will be doing a show the day of the lottery where we examine what they would do if they did hop up into the top end of the draft, because we got to milk that content train, that content cow, whatever it is. But, Evan, I'm going to let you go first. So I want you to – we're going to go through this list, and we're going to just go through them. We don't know how each other feel about this. We sort of have this list.
Well, I think I have a little bit of a feel of how you feel about this. I feel like the same. We've been doing this for – almost 3 years at this point. I feel like we have an idea of what we do and don't think.
Yeah, but I think sometimes, like, in terms of, you know, keep each other guessing and see how it goes.
The team building stuff, the backup center with Marissa McNeese, check out that episode if you guys haven't. I thought you disagreed with me on it, then you just came in hot and said, like, oh no, I agree with you at 100%. But in terms of Evan Mobley's development.
Which one of these do you want to start with?
Do you want to start with
I want you to pick, and then we're going to have to form a list as we go. We're going to have to build this list and, like, negotiate this as we go a little bit.
Let's talk about shooting, because I feel like that's a little bit of overlap just in terms of point, wing, and if you can get a shooting big, like, that is a rare commodity, but if you can get a big who can stretch it a little bit, like, that's big for the Cavs, pun intended, and also actually as well, because they can play a lot of creative sets in that
sense. Yeah, I think shooting has to be, like, near the very top here. I think, like,
I'd put it third, but my one and two are, like, 1A, 1B.
Okay, so I want to say it's either two or three, and I think the way that I define it is, like, I think I would have some concern in terms of, you know, how you would say, is this going to be a one-dimensional shooter? Is this going to be someone that kind of only offers you that one skill? I think, like, and depending on where you draft that player, you'd feel differently about it. Like, he's developed into a really nice NBA player, but, like, there's a reason when the Cavs kind of last time they took sort of a shooter in this, like, a shooter, quote-unquote, it was Joe Harris. He was a second-round pick, and then, you know...
Dylan Windler
I thought of as more of, like kind of like a like an actual wing, where Joe Harris was, like, 6'5", and all he can do is, like, shoot. I think of Joe Harris as just sort of, like, the prototype of that, because he's actually ended up being good in the NBA, and no offense to Dylan Windler, it hasn't worked out for him. So, like...
Well, Joe Harris is an interesting case, because he was more than damaged when he left Cleveland. He was on the side of the league.
And was really developed and nice in Brooklyn. But it's, like, that kind of just guy who all the utility he provides on paper, at least as you sort of understand him as he starts shooting. Windler at least had, like, some of the rebounding stuff and whatever. You could at least say there's a little bit more there. But I think that's a fair point. They haven't... Who's knocking stuff? It's not even you today. Is it who we think it is? Okay, a little rascal, but I.
He's knocking remotes off the table. It's his new thing. I said, Finnegan, I swear to God, if you knock my PS5 controller off the table, I'm going to have a new hat that looks just like you. Stared me down dead ass and just slid it off the table. So
I would say you look at this draft and you would say, actually, I'm gonna cut that a little bit out because I just think it'll be less personal. I'm going to just put a little clip. So I think you look at shooting, and I think the part of it that I think is the most interesting about it is that I don't know. I think if you drafted something that is like purely for the shooting value, I would be more comfortable with that. With I think the second round pick, maybe like either, because like
I agree with that. I think it's a fair assessment.
It's just like you got to. I think you got to swing for something more than just that.
Yeah, I think at 14 you're really looking at. Granted, this is a developmental prospect because you are hoping this becomes like a meaningful player, but. It's hit or miss at that point in the draft. Like, you don't need to have high expectations with the 14th overall pick, but like, this is a player that the Cavs want to invest their time, energy, and resources into, make a rotational piece long term. Like, I believe Corey Kispert was taken around that range by the Wizards. He hardly played for Washington this season, just mostly out of the situation there and everything else, just because they have an overabundance of players ahead of him that are just better right now. So I think about that, but. Yeah, if you're at 14, you're taking a wing that can provide you a little bit more than just shooting, or you're hard looking at like a backup point guard for Darius Garland, where you bring in a veteran to really spell this rookie that you're drafting to backup Garland, but also just to kind of serve as the primary backup as you season this rookie, so he can be comfortable taking over as like your pseudo sixth man off the bench.
I think this is the other thing I would say. I want to ask, I guess. When you think about shooting, would you think of it as someone who is going to be someone that you know, like, they're going to be a shooter? Like, you know, would you prefer to take someone who, like, maybe you can project out as a shooter? Or would you prefer to take someone who's just like, hey, I know this guy can shoot, and I think we can develop the other part to his game? Based on where the Cavs are at and what their roster kind of looks like, what kind of prospect would you, Evan Damberl, prefer?
So that's a little bit of a tricky question. So if you're picking the second round, I think you might get more of a one-dimensional player at that point, where like that you're saying like, hey, this kid can shoot it. Like, he has shown the propensity to shoot threes at the college level. His free throw rate is accurate because, again, if you listen earlier in this week, like, I think it's a smart analysis that if a player is a good free throw shooter, they have the ability to become a good shooter in general because the mechanics are solid. But you're getting more of a one-dimensional player. So I think you want a little bit of both, but I think you want to firmly say, like, okay, their three-point rate in college was pretty good. They're like, they just weren't chucking it, or they're like let's say like a player has like an insane percentage, and then you actually break down like their rate, they're only taking like one or two threes a game. Like, that gives me pause a little bit, but I think you can unearth a player like that in the second round. It's just, that's more so than you're looking in the avenue of like a developmental wing, which I would probably rank last on my list.
We have a hard disagree, because I have one that I'll bring up next. I think is my very firm should be five.
It should be last.
Yeah, I have one that I feel very strongly should be last. So we'll have to.
No, I agree. I'm interested to see this, but I just think I'm thinking in the grand scheme of things. But that's just kind of where I'm at. Because if you're going in with the first round pick, you can probably swing for a player that has a little bit of column A, column B, column C, and hope that like A and B, which is a 3-point rate and a 3-point percentage, just work out. But if you're drafting the second, like, you want solely a shooter, like, there's some kid from Italy that I've been watching since tape up, but I don't remember his name off the top of my head, but like, he's known for shooting. Like, I've been talking to Mavs Draft a lot about this. Like, he is known for shooting. And if the Cavs just wanted to bring in a shooter, that could be an option in the second round if he wants to leave Italy and play in Cleveland next season on either, like, a two-way deal or just be, like, your end-of-rotation guy. Or, hell, just freaking sign Kyle Guy to a two-way contract. He torched for the Heat. He killed it for the G League. If you need to add shooting, you have somebody in-house.
Yeah, I think you want like more of like the wing movement shooter, I think, is sort of what you're looking for. But so if that guy maybe exists, that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, you want somebody who can play off-ball and within the motions of the offense, who just knows his spots and knows where he needs to be, and like cadence with Darius Garland. I think, yeah,
obviously. All right, we're going to take a break, come back. I'll give my one after the break that I feel very strongly is the least important of these draft needs. But you're first going to tell everyone about our, or I'm actually first going to tell everyone about our friends at Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar out there on the market, and they're going to help you stick to your New Year's resolutions as we get deeper and deeper into 2022. It's freaking May. It's wild. Built Bars are covered in 100% real chocolate. Yes, 100% real chocolate, including their puffs, and they have great flavors: coconut, mint brownie, coconut almond, peanut butter brownie, and more. They're all about the taste first and foremost. They're going to make it taste delicious first and then figure out how to make it healthy. And I don't know how they do it, but they pull it off every time. And go to built.com and check out their macros chart. They are phenomenal macros. Most of them have 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, only 4 grams of net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. High protein, low cal, high fiber, low carb protein bars. Go to built.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, and get 15% off your order. Again, that promo code is LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Go stock up today. All right, we're back here on Locked On Cavs. I'm Chris, that's Evan. Thanks for making Locked On Cavs your first listen every day. Now, make sure to go check out the Locked On NBA Big Board podcast. Host Raphael Barlow from Mia Draft Junkies and author of the NBA Big Board newsletter is joined by Richard Stamen, Sam Ferris, and Leif Thulin, giving fans an in-depth look into the NBA draft with mock drafts, player rankings, and, of course, big boards. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Okay, so the only one we've talked about so far is shooting. As a refresher, the other four needs that we have here: backup point guard, backup center, developmental wing, and rotation wing. So let's just say shooting right now is, it's obviously the only one. So we'll, this is the one I feel is very strongly last and where I would put below this in our pecking order. That's backup center. Backups, oh, very really? Strong.
Okay. Elaborate.
Backup center.
Do you feel comfortable watching Moses Brown play meaningful minutes again? Because he is such a minus as a rim protector.
You have Jared Allen, and you're paying him $20 million. You have Evan Mobley, who's going to play a lot of minutes at the five. Okay?
You got to let me make my point.
They have 2 second picks. They don't need to spend. Dan Gilbert has other things he should be spending his money on with this franchise. I don't think buying another pick to get a big is what I would do.
Well, the crypto market's collapsing. He might have some free cash to spend.
So what I would say with backup center is, number one, you have Jared Allen already. He's going to play 30-something minutes tonight. Evan Mobley is going to fill a lot of your other backup center minutes. He might play all of the rest of your backup center minutes for that's a good way to approach it. You have other needs on this roster that are much more important and fit the structure of the NBA. You need more wings. You need more shots at wings you can develop. Moses Brown is not like a guy that I feel great about as like a rotation piece, but he's going to be really affordable. And like, if I'm looking at cashing in resources in the draft and then like and using that to take a shot at something, backup center is not the thing that I think is just like, it's not going to give you that much of your return. You're already going to have really good minutes of actual high-end center play with Jared Allen and with year two of Evan Mobley. Jared Allen should have been an all-star last year. He had a great year. Evan Mobley is a budding superstar going into year two. If Moses Brown is like your break glass
in case of emergency. Jared Allen wasn't an all-star last year.
Okay, he was. You know what I mean? Like, should have been voted in from the beginning. Moses Brown, if he's like, you keep him and it's like he's 23 and he's really cheap, and you go find another version of that, or like a veteran, like a Gorgie Dang or something, you can make that work. And I don't think it is
Tristan Thompson.
Bad vibes there. I just really? Oh, yeah, I'm kind of done with that. Yeah, really? I'm done with that.
Have you been watching the Kardashians?
No, I'm in too much. I don't want to talk about Tristan Thompson. I look at what you can do, and you can develop. You can just get something that doesn't cost you like prioritizing it in the draft. Like, I think it would be like a mistake to use your. It would be insane to use the first round pick, and it would be insane to use the top of the second round pick. Take wings, take guards, and when we get to backup point guard, this will feed into my argument even more. But I think backup center to me is very clearly bottom of the list. You can get it elsewhere. It's not something I would be really prioritizing on draft night.
Okay, you make a compelling argument there. Just my counterpoint to that is Cleveland already has... So when you say developmental wing, you think that you're just going to stash them with the charge. Okay, then we're in agreement on that a little bit. I just think if you're able to get a serviceable big man who is either like a junior or senior in college but has some seasoning on him, who you can kind of just keep as like... the player who played like that Ed Davis taco fall at sometimes, even Moses Brown role, we're like, okay, this player can actually maybe give us a little bit more, and he might be worth like, maybe devoting some more time, energy, and resources with, because we have plenty of tangible tape on Moses Brown. We obviously have a lot of tape on Taco Fall because he's a mascot. We have a lot of tape on Ed Davis because he's a career guy. And, like, if you brought him back for the vibes, it's fine, whatever. But I agree with you that going into next season, your approach should be Jared Allen plays 30, 32 minutes a night just at center. You have Evan Mobley soak up the remaining 16 minutes, and then you bring up his – you take 16 minutes there, and maybe you play him 15 to 20 minutes at power forward then at that point, just to break up his dichotomy a little bit. But the Cavs also play positionless, so it's a little harder to do that too. So I agree with that stance. I just think it flip-flops for me. So if you can get a good developmental wing with that like late second round pick, I think it's 58 off the top of my head right now.
It's from the Heat. It's 58, the third to last pick in the draft.
Okay, so if you take that one and you grab like a developmental big man or wing, that's fine. I don't care. Like, but at the same time, I'm just like, Jared Allen can have some injury issues sometimes. Sometimes like it's just like this team just dealt with freak injuries last year. And I think if you just have a little bit of extra depth to bolster things, so you're not scrambling to sign and big man, that works. But I don't know. Maybe like you said, you try and find a more like serviceable option in free agency, and I think there's a lot more quality bigs than there are like points and obviously wings in the free agency this year. So like the Cavs could have some options there, but that's just kind of where I'm at. I think I could flip flop either answer just on what I have lower. So the way I view it is like my top two are here, shooting is like firmly in the middle here, and then like the bottom two are wings and bigs like on the other end of the spectrum, where I'm just like, yeah, like that'd be nice to have a developmental wing or like a serviceable backup big, but like that's not my top priority right now. My top priority is an actual wing,
backup point guard. Now you're just spoiling the list.
I'm not revealing my list. I'm still going through the motions. I need to figure out what I firmly want at one. That's what we're having this discussion for. Am I gonna call you Ski Up after this, or like Chris?
I'm gonna sue you like Jerry West is gonna take this to the Supreme Court over winning time.
I can't wait for you to post your immaculate drip photos with your Jordans and your chain from Little Wayne. Where you're sitting like a swole Dobby the Elf.
In dad hats for me. Okay. So backup center, can we agree at least that backup center is below shooting?
Yeah, absolutely. I think shooting is just such a need for this Cavs team because they're so below average in terms of shooting in general. Like they have the shooters on their roster, but you need more. Just the way this—that's the way this league works. You need more than just what you have right now for Cleveland.
Okay, let's talk about developmental wing next, because I think this is why I have this above backup center. You have to, I think, as you continue to go forward, and if you're looking to the future of when your roster is going to get more expensive, and you're going to need to like keep developing things and develop your depth, wing is going to be so important for that. And they still like just don't have enough wings. So I think finding someone, especially if they can like not get the type of wing that, I just think to get a different kind of wing than the kind of wing they've got the last couple of years, like stop getting RJ Nembhard, who's like fine, but like get me wings who can like do a little more, have a little, you don't have to force their shot into development. Like if you can find that guy second round, or even just like someone like a Wendell Moore type who's like still developmental but maybe a little more seasoned in some ways and maybe like fits kind of what the NBA is to some degree, that's the kind of thing where I'm saying this would provide this team with, I think, just clearly more value and like help the rotation actually like have some depth to it than this. Like it's like the Grizzlies, like if you look at like their path is like hitting a bunch of draft picks. Yes, they took Xavier Tillman. Look at how many wings they've drafted. Look at how they've prioritized just having like lots of wings. They got Clark and Tillman and JJ Bay, but like every other thing they've done is basically like guys that are wings basically. And I think that is the way you kind of want to do it. And I just like the Cavs wing situation is just so blah that I think I go developmental wing is like kind of like a three. If it's like a 3A to the 3 of shooting, like it is right. They're kind of those kind of go hand in hand to me in a lot of ways. I'm willing to put it at 4 because I think we have the same top two. I would think it seems like that's where we're headed here.
Yeah, well, no, we do. Pause.
I'm waiting to see if you're going to interject yourself. You kind of sometimes you do that.
I'm letting you. I want to kill your flow.
I don't have a flow. We're just vibing here.
We're just vibing. We're riffing. But I think we have the same top two. I want to flesh mine out a little bit more and maybe figure out what's... Right now, I'd say, like, yeah, you just need, like, an actual serviceable wing on this roster. You need multiple of those, but you don't have that luxury. So, like, grab one in the draft. We'll talk about this more in the next segment, obviously. Like, grab one of those in the draft and then, like, maybe pursue the backup point market. But, like, let's say Ty-Ty Washington is available at 14. Like, if I were the Cavs, who I know they like Ty-Ty Washington, like, I'd have to consider. I know he plays a bit of, like, that Emmanuel Quickley role for Kentucky, but he has a little bit of playmaking upside, too, that gives me pause, and I say, okay, the Cavs have finally addressed their backup point issues with Ricky Rubio, but, like, slapping a Band-Aid and just bringing in, like, veterans does make sense, but maybe develop something long term so you don't burn out your franchise player at the same time because you keep just trying to slap the band.
Yeah, we'll get to backup point guard, I think. All right, after break. Evan, you're going to start one about Bet Online.
Did you get my text?
I will look. I was looking at.
It's the U.S. men's national. No,
they're terrible. Zero out of ten. Send them.
Put them in the hell. Today's episode of Locked On Cavs.
Terrible.
Terrible, terrible. Chris Manning himself said it. But today's episode of Locked On Cavs is brought to you by BetOnline.net. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting stats and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's basketball playoffs and the start of the Major League Baseball season. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. So if you're interested, head to their website today or use your mobile device to learn about the trends in action. For instance, the Heat have jumped to -735 favorites of the 76ers, even with DeAndre Jordan starting at +535 for the Sixers, while in the other East series, it's closer to even with the Bucks at +105 and the Celtics at -125. And in the NBA draft, Jabari Smith is still the favorite to go number one at -105, while Chet Holmgren is +190 and Paolo Banchero is +300. Bet Online, where the game starts.
All right, back here on Locked On Cavs. Evan, did you know that this is the 10th tenure? I just saw this on Twitter. This is the 10-year anniversary of the time that LeBron James told Gilbert Arenas at the free throw line, if you miss this, you know who's going to make it. And then Damon Jones hit the game winner on the other end of the floor. Getting really old.
Who shared that info? Give him a shout out.
They have over a million Twitter followers. They don't need the shout out.
Well, we have over like 10 million listeners, so folks, follow them. Okay. And,
all right, so where do you want to go next? Which one of these do you want to unpack next?
What do you think is higher for you, bro?
Oh, it's wing. Backup? It's wing. Yeah, like, it's wing.
Wing?
I am okay. This.
Sell me the elevator pitch, because I flip-flop on this a lot, because I watch Darius Garland go nuclear this year. But I worry, like, this, and you and I are both like, this isn't sustainable. He could burn himself out, and he burned himself out. Yeah,
for sure.
Out.
But I think, number one, you're hoping next year that, depending on what happens with Colin Sexton, he's back, he's going to provide some semblance of support for Darius in this way. You would hope a more acclimated Caris LeVert is going to provide some of that in this way. Are you drinking Baja Blast right now? It's 9 o'clock, mm-hmm. Brother. You're a wild boy.
Baja Blast Zero. It's single, wild, baby. Boy.
You look at the roster you're going to have, Evan Mobley year two taking it, maybe adding some creation responsibility. I think you have ways to support Darius better, right? Like, hopefully. I think that's got to be part of the plan here. If it goes wrong, it goes wrong. But, like, you can't, like, you have to kind of hope for, like, that things will kind of go a certain way, especially if you pay context and money. Like, he's going to need to play some minutes as the point without Darius. I also just, like, think if you look at what could take this Cavs roster, like, up a notch, and you look what would feel like the biggest need, it is just more wings that you can trust. It is more wing, different kinds of wings you can shoot. It's kind of got to be like the 3-and-D type or like the Grant Williams type. It's those two kind of templates. It's like, if it ends up being EJ Liddell, if it ends up being, you know, Ochai Agbaji, if it ends up being like, you know, like if you go Malachi Branham, if you go like a Kendall Brown, like that's the kind of guy you could look at. Where I think that's the kind of thing you're thinking of in terms of that kind of wing. And it could be different things. It could be whatever it's going to be. I think wing is just like a guy that come in and play and develop, especially because like the free agent market just seems like it's going to be very thin. There's not a ton of wings. Like, you could maybe get a Gary Harris or something like that, but I still would want to go out and get a wing
in the draft. What about Terry Easton?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, like, I don't have like strong opinions on like tiering these guys. We're going to get there as we go.
No, I know. We'll get more into the nitty-gritty as we go here, but, like, he's a power forward, but, like, he's... I know you hate comps, but, like, a player he's kind of drawn some comparisons to is like Jeremy Grant. Like, that would be ideal for the Cavs for a team who likes to play bigger. They could afford to put like a tweener power forward at the three who has defensive
maybe a twist on what Markkanen sort of did last year to some degree. But I think it is wings for number one for me.
Well, brother, if Lauri Markkanen just came like absolutely built, like just got on that Giannis HGH plan all of a sudden, like the Cavs problems are fixed. He also had like the perfect player in that instance.
But I think it is wing, and I think backup point guard is a need, but I think wing is just like the because I can talk myself into thinking, hey, we have Colin Sexton, we have Caris LeVert, like at least to start the year, we'll see how the roster shakes out. Like you can finagle, you know, Evan Mobley, like you just have enough there that I feel like you can make that work. And then I look at wing and it's like, I don't know how many of these things I trust here right now.
So if you were, I mean, I guess the Cavs are going to have a run of wings if they stick at 14, but I'm just saying, like, I don't know. Let's just say in, like, the pre-draft process, like, let's say, like, Ty Washington has, like, a phenomenal, like,
yeah, but I'm not, but I'm, here's the thing. I'm not thinking about this, like, in terms of specific prospects.
Like, let's just say, but if you are the Cavs, an elite, and, like, a very high upside point guard is staring you in the face, or you can get a wing who could probably provide you a little bit of what you're looking for but doesn't have the upside, what would you prefer? The wing?
I think
it answers a more immediate need, or are you more focused on the immediate or the long term? I think
it has to be. It's both.
That's fair too. Some of
this depends on what happens with Colin Sexton. Because if you're going to pay Colin Sexton $18 to $20 million, then like I think using a first on a backup point guard when you're going to need some real cost control on the rest of your roster, makes even more sense there. It just becomes even more of like a glaring need because you're going to need a wing that you could theoretically pair with Sexton and help him kind of survive on both ends of the floor and make his life kind of work a little bit better.
You know what the real shame of all of this is? Kevin Porter Jr. makes so much sense.
The idealized version of Kevin Porter Jr.
What you got from Kevin Porter Jr. in Cleveland and sometimes what you see in Houston, he's a little just free to do what he wants with the Rockets, obviously. And I know he claims he's a point guard, but I think he's just more of a combo guard who can maybe provide you some playmaking every now and then. Like, he makes a lot of sense of for just like some of the things the Cavs maybe need, like just in terms of a scoring punch, playmaking, some size, some defense, just a little bit of all of that. And it's a shame how things went, and I'm glad he's doing better with the Rockets, but I don't, yeah, at the same time, like, he also could self-combust in a more high-pressure situation, or maybe in a more, I don't know, maybe he might be more compartmentalized in Cleveland than he would be in Houston as well, but, like, just, like, watching him play at the Rockets and just watching him, knowing what he did, at least with his time at the Cavs, like, he does make a lot of sense on this roster.
Yeah, I mean, right, I think, the best version of him that you think turns, like, a more winning player, I think that certainly, but this also feels like also an indictment of, like, that's what Caris LeVert is for, do you know? Like, that's kind of what you're hoping.
Yeah, but Caris LeVert's just his injury history, and I think his foot problems rearing the head of Cleveland is giving you pause, and that's just
I think with all the, I think with all of these things, whether it's, like, worrying about injuries in this discussion is very hard, because I think you just, like, there's a risk with all of this. Like, Darius Garland could turn his ankle and miss a month. This stuff just happens, and you have to, I think,
Terrence meniscus.
Right, again. Like, you could have stuff where, like, this just becomes, it just happens, you have to deal with it. I think wing is just clear the roster, and then let's just talk about backup point guard, because we're low on time. I kind of feel like backup point guard is a thing that maybe if the draft runs a certain way and that becomes the value at 14, you could, like, kind of say, hey, we need more guards, like, we're gonna, it's a cost thing, whatever. The other thing that I do feel about, it seems like you might be able to find guards in this, depending on, you might look at a veteran, you might look at Delon or Tyus Jones, we'll see what kind of happens with those guys. It was interesting that Robert Covington got that extension. I wonder if those other teams will kind of do that two-year extension for some of those guys who don't want to have to worry about dealing with the free agency market where there's not a lot of money to be spent.
Yeah, some players are eligible for two-year extensions right now. Are they eligible?
I wrote a thing about Covington for Dime before we got on, and that was one of the things.
Gotcha.
the you have we've also seen guards in the second round come in and make and not even high first round pick guards come in and make an impact. So like Ayu Dambusa from the Bulls last year came and had like a really positive rookie year.
He rules, though.
But like you can find some of these guys. Like it's about trying to
I know you can.
I'm not saying it's a guarantee, just, but I'm saying like
do you trust the Cavs player development staff fully enough to enable or embolden that player? And I don't know. The Cavs are deep in scouting.
You have to try. I think is the point here. You have to. You have to try.
I know. Like I'm looking just like Tankathon's big board right now. Like I think in the area where the Cavs are picking in both spots in second round, yes, there are point guards available. Like there's just a lot of interesting prospects. It's just if you're Cleveland, how highly do you prioritize this stuff too? Because wing is like the big issue, and I think I'm in agreement with you. I think that's just been my stance for a while, but like I do just think about the Darius Garland issue, and I'm like, do you really want to go through this again? But at the same time, like you said, like you lay out a compelling argument. Like if you figure out what's going on with Sexton, give LeVert the benefit of the doubt. If it doesn't work, obviously pull the plug on the situation and trade him at the deadline. But like there are obvious answers maybe in the path for the Cavs to answer some of these problems, but I do wonder if you just fully go in on just like, hey, let's grab wings, even if they're more seasoned and experienced and they have lower upside than some of these other players, and just fully maximize the potential of this roster. Because again, you have a clear big three here, and we keep going back and forth on this a lot, and I know we're pressed for time, but it's an interesting thought exercise because you can make an argument for either case, and that's just kind of where I'm at, where I'm like, yeah, but the problem is, not the problem, but I guess the thing is the draft happens before mm-hmm. free agency, so if free agency happened before the draft, I'd have a lot more clear of an answer. I'd be like, yeah, the Cavs need this, this, and this because they answered all their issues in free agency yeah. already, or they signed these players to extensions so you know they're here long-term, and this is clearly what they're trying to – or not clearly, but it gives you insight on what they're trying to do.
Yeah, I think the other thing about this, though, is that I don't think these problems are all – the draft in terms of, like, finding guys, whether it is, like, trying to find and develop UDFAs or second-round picks or finding someone in the first, that is a more, like – I think just based on the money they have to spend in free agency and what the market kind of looks like in terms of who's available and who, you know, is not available really, and like who are they even going to be able to really make calls for, it just seems like I think the draft is going to be a way if they can get someone that makes an impact next year and kind of lessen some of the maybe missing item free agency if that kind of goes that way, that would be a really big deal. And the trade market exists too, but like in terms of like not having to give up other stuff to keep your flexibility going forward, finding I think some success in the draft will be kind of important. So let's do a final ranking here. Are we saying rotation wing is number one? Okay. Are we going backup point guard number two? Okay. Are we going shooting three? And then we're going developmental wing four. Do you feel is that the one you feel least? Because I
flip flop on either.
I think where so we differ here is that you are so much more worried about the injury stuff, and I'm just like, let's just like you got to just ride and hope that it's going to work out in a certain way. Your luck's going to be better with that.
It's a cynic in me. What can I say? But I think for me more so, it's 1A, 1B is wing and point guard. Shooting is like two, and then like you just want to say like 4A, 4B is backup wing or rotation big and slash developmental wing. Like I can flip flop on either. It just depends on who's available in terms of UDFAs in the second round for me. Like if you get a developmental wing, you grab that. But if you see a big man that's more enticing, yeah, go for it. I understand both schools of thought.
It just seems like the wing would be huge. So this is at my tiers in terms of how this works. Rotation wing is in its own tier. Backup point guard, yeah. Really? Oh, it's like wing, big glaring lights, wing. Backup point is in its own and two. Shooting and developmental wing, then I have paired. Oh. And then backup center is like in the cellar locked away, and I'm not thinking about it.
Well, yeah, we have dramatically different tiers because I have the first two in their own tier, shooting on its own, and then the other two are just in a very distant third tier for me. It's a little
It would be balanced. If I'm getting a center in this draft, it's taking Evan Mobley's brother Isaiah and tampering and doing legal tampering.
I mean, yeah.
Like honestly, like I, like that's, it's just like it would be so. It would just be like such a bizarre use of, You know, like, Packers fans get, like, really mad about, like, them not taking wide receivers. That would be, like, me trying to explain, like, why you use, like, a first-round pick or, like, your high second-round pick on a center when you have Jared Allen and Evan Mobley. That would be, like, that would That's be me. Fair. That would just be, like, what is the point of this? And Kobe would be, like, you know, we can't apologize for 48 minutes of elite center play. And I'd be, like, Kobe, you already had 48 minutes of elite center play. What's going on here?
I mean, to be fair, Jared Allen sitting at home recovering his finger and Andre Drummond, at least made it to the playoffs, so if he was with the Sixers, he'd be getting smoked by Bam Adebayo instead.
His point guard is saying crazy things on podcasts, which is a lot like us. So we're gonna end there.
Kyrie. Yeah,
Did you see the clip from Thursday?
I've been pretty offline today.
I will send it to you.
I had to do some. I'm going to Toledo this week because my brother's graduating college. I have to do some stuff around the house. So I've been more focused on that and like just getting work done. So I've been unplugged from the social media.
I saw this
sphere,
and
despite working for a social media giant.
I saw the Kyrie thing and I saw the kits and I was like, I'm good. Don't need to think about the internet.
I saw the kits and I was like, that's gross. I thought James Harden said something outlandish.
Give
so
me
like,
the kits that the U.S. men's national team should have for in perpetuity is the bomb pop kits, and that's all. That's all. You know, they literally look like the bomb pop. Just go get them. They're great.
Man, Nike just like strikes out left and right in terms of uniform designs.
Okay, that's gonna be it. We'll be back on.
They have a lot more misses than they do hits. Chris is right there. They're bad at it, especially for like just professional, like any pro team, but like Cleveland, oof, they have been. There's a reason why they keep going back to classics.
All right, we'll be back on Monday. We'll be kicking off Jared Allen week, which should be a fun week, and we'll do some more draft stuff again next Friday. Perhaps we'll have someone on to talk about some more prospects. Until next time, I'm Chris. That's Evan. Be well. Want a great second listen? WNBA is kicking off. Check out Locked On Women's Basketball with Howard Megdal and the whole team from the Next. Check out Locked On NBA. Check out Locked On NBA Draft Big Board. It's a great show. Tons of great. There's an interview with like Ryan Rollins from Toledo in there. There's a ton of great stuff in that feed. Go check it out. Be well. Have a good
one. Oh, wow. Speaking of Toledo, yeah. Ryan Rollins and I will be in the same vicinity this weekend. I'll network. Get him on the show.
You give him your card. I'll not give you anything. But until then, be well.